But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
It matters how we approach spiritual things. It matters how we approach spiritual things. There are too many things reserved for us. Too many things that are our inheritance. Too many things that have been given to us by the finished work of Christ. But the one challenge becomes that we don't know how to maximize the things that are ours. And so the average Christian is crying, begging, pleading for things that are his own. And so when the spirit world wanted to diagnose the predicament of man, the submission of the brightest of them is that men perish for lack of knowledge. Not because Satan is powerful, not because witches are wicked, but that the reason why men perish is lack of knowledge. And that there is a knowledge that makes for transformation. There is a knowledge that makes for deliverance. There is a knowledge that makes for freedom. The Bible says you shall know the truth. It is a knowledge, and the truth that you have known will not set you free. It will make you free. Freedom is not an experience. Freedom is a state of existence. You have entered a realm where captivity cannot be established around you anymore. There's no chain that they bring that can hold you bound again. You have become freedom personified. So even the angel that came to set Paul and Silas free, did you realize he didn't come with any key? Did you realize he didn't come with any cutting device? He showed up with an aura of his presence, and chains fell by themselves. Prison doors opened by themselves. There is something around his perimeter that opens gates. You can carry something that makes it impossible to be a captive. It's not about confessing and falling and rising. It is not about that. Freedom is a state you can live inside. Is a person you can become. And when you have walked in that for so long, anybody who comes within your influence, also the chain around them can fall. Like that angel, if God wants to set people free, he sends you into their territory. When you enter such a space, men who have struggled with addictions, pornography, masturbation, night affliction, bedwetting, all kinds of stagnation, they just find out suddenly an atmosphere can solve challenges. You don't need to talk all the time. Something around your life must be changing people's lives. So there were days where handkerchiefs and aprons were blessing men. The apostle needed not to speak. His shadow was healing people. This is the state we must press until we enter. Until consciously and unconsciously, your life is testifying Jesus revealed, Jesus glorified. Until you can be doing something else and the spirit realm is using other things connected to you that you are not conscious of to extend deliverance to men, we have not touched the mark yet. Enough of inviting people to come to church so that they can see God. We can take God to the streets. You can sit down in a bus. You know, these things start first from the state of your heart. You begin to yearn for more. You begin to desire more. He says, to see your glory and your power as I have seen in the sanctuary. I'm not okay to be seeing you move in church only again. I want you to follow me out into the world. I want the world to see your excellency upon my life. He says, to see your glory and your power as I have seen in the sanctuary. Some of you are lions in the secret place. You are lions. Can you carry that dimension in the secret out now? Can that thing that you are, only you know with God, can it become your identity in the cosmos? Because the days that are ahead of us, all men must wield their scepters. Those who are given to the ways of iniquity, they are no longer hidden about what they represent. If you check the internet lately, you will find that the sons of darkness have become so audacious. They challenge the things of light. They make mockery of the name of Jesus openly. It's only the sons of light who don't know that we are at war. Their intention is one. They are trying to push Jesus out of the metaverse. They want to frustrate us out of that space.
but we will not live there. We will dominate the world. They want any small thing a pastor do. Oh, it becomes a breaking news. What is the business between pastor commit one small scandal with a national newspaper? Is it a breaking news in the country? It's a spirit wielding that scepter. Anything that dent Jesus' name, it's a breaking news. They love it. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. And those who fight for the banner of Jesus, we must become intentional too. My life will not bring any shame to Jesus. It's a vow you will take, because they are looking, they are searching. They keep a microscope on anyone that names the name of the Lord, because they want to prove that we are all the same. That life you are living is judging them, and you are not saying anything. They're just minding your business, and they are saying, are you the only holy? Did you say you are holy? No. There is something about how you have chosen to live, the government that you represent is convicting the world of sin unconsciously. And so they make it their lifelong goal to search your life, search all kinds of hidden places, so that they can find one impediment and use that to console their heart that we are all the same. Pray one prayer where you are. I refuse to bring Jesus shame. I refuse to bring shame to the name of the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. Please make sure you are talking to God. Help me. Some of you, you are a project already in the hand of wicked princes. They are saving your scandal for a day where your appearing will come to many. Then they will open that secret thing about your life and cause shame to the name of the Lord. Say, I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to bring shame to the name of the Lord. I refuse to be a fake. I refuse to be a pretender. I refuse to be a hypocrite. It's a decision first. Before a spirit can support your conviction, you will decide. Then a spirit will come and legitimize that stand. Jesus. Manta Kadesh. Fezekete Bara Savana. I refuse to shame the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, you are an Anathema Maranatha. If you don't love the Lord, if you bring shame, you are Ichabod. The glory has departed. There is a garment of honor on you. Vow not to defy it. I will not stain my garments. They will keep searching. The prince of this world cometh. The prince of this world cometh. He will come for you too. The prince of this world cometh and finds nothing. Finds nothing. Finds nothing. The prince of this world cometh. He will come for you. Outside, are you praying now? Online, are you praying? Inside, are you praying? I refuse to bring shame to the Lord.
In your name, Adonai.
sometime around 2012, I was on campus, and in the visions of the night, the Lord showed me things that look like cages, large cages, the way you have a cage for animals. And I saw them hung, many. The numbers were uncountable, endless. And I saw human beings in numbers inside those cages, plenty. The material that they made the cage with is like rust iron, very solid in its appearance. And I saw people's hands outside, and the gesture of the hand spoke to my heart like, help us. It was not a voice, it was the shape of the hand, many. And so something came into my heart in that vision, that it is this particular song, if you sing it, these people will be free, that the song can open the gates for them. So I quickly wanted to sing the song, and something like a shadow, so large in its appearance, just ran and eclipsed me, and all it was stopping was my throat. It didn't stop my hand. He targeted the way this weapon will be deployed. So he knew that it would be a sound that will liberate them. So he came strategically to stop me from producing a sound. They didn't touch my hand. They didn't touch any other part of my body. It was directly to my throat to stop sound from coming out. And I was struggling with that. And somebody came and told me that if I don't sing this song, that everybody who are there, there will be no release date for them. Let me say something now to the hearing of the body of Christ, as clear as possible. Satan does not plan to release anybody. It is not like the sentence of men where you can serve and a time comes when you have exhausted, you know, the time allotted for your sentence. You can't finish. The plan of captivity is to keep you until you draw your last breath and then go to hell from there straight. So in time and in eternity, all you remember is misery. Misery and pain and frustration. If you see any man ever free, look at them carefully. You will see scars and marks around them, because the door was not open for them. It was prison break that happened. They rebelled. It was violence that broke them out. There was no time where the authority says, you have suffered too much, so come out. If you see anybody, he bears a mark on him. Apostle Paul says, let no man trouble me. I did not show up from nowhere. I bear upon me a mark. There are spirits that if they see me, they know that I was once under them, and they know they did not release me. So any day you speak, they will bow, because they know this person knows something about me. This person has been a prisoner. How comes you are now free? And let me tell you something about this kingdom. Anything that you have been a captive under has become your ministry. The day you come out, they just give you a weapon and they say, go back and set your brothers free. Because there are many other people in that same situation like you. There are too many people who are almost giving up, and God will focus on one man, help him to break out. When he comes out, he will groom him through the altar of prayer and then send him back to the things that challenge him. You will go back to Pharaoh, the same Pharaoh you ran away from, and say, let my people go. Once upon a time, they were not your people. A spirit will give you them as an inheritance and say, take responsibility for this generation. Let my people go. I'll tell you how God judges that season. The gods of Egypt, they will not settle with round table discussions. The gods will be annihilated. Their memory will be blotted out forever. That is the only way God's people can go. So every single plague was a judgment for a principal god of Egypt. Their father god was Ra, the sun god of Egypt. And darkness have to eclipse Egypt to prove that Ra does not have supreme power. There were judgments for every god, from the god of fertility to the fish in the Nile. They corrupted the water to blood to prove that he does not reign. There is another God that came with power. It is not about legalities this time. He says, through the greatness of thy power, the greatness of thy power, shall thy enemies submit themselves. media, if you can help me with this scripture, I'll truly appreciate it. He says, how terrible art thou in thy ways, O God. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves. When captivity is involved, violence is needed. When captivity is involved, rebellion is justified. You must rebel against all kinds of things that holds you down. Can somebody read this scripture until it fires your spirit up? At the count of two. One, two, go. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies, say, submit themselves. There is a dimension he shows. There is a dimension he roused. Darkness will say, we are sorry. We didn't know that you love this man like this. He says, there is a way you enter this case. Your enemy submits themselves. Can somebody pray 1 minute now? I don't know what you are into. I don't know what must shift from your life. I don't know what must leave. What must bow. He says, say unto the Lord. So you too, say it now. You are great. You are mighty over my life. You are mighty over my life. Are you praying, somebody? Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves. Through the greatness of thy power. He rules. The earth is the Lord and his fullness. His fullness. The earth is the Lord. He reigns. He rules. Are you tired? Are you tired? We are touching God. Aya, ya, 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 ya. Takata bara tekoto. Shebere kete bara tabana. She te breke se koko. Hey ya ya, hey ya ya, hey ya ya, hey ya
ya,
yeah.
battle chant. Let Satan bring his worst. Let him bring his best. He says, how terrible art thou in thy ways, O God. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. Satan does not have the final say. Satan does not have the last laugh. Your story has not finished like this. This is not the best that you can be. There is a dimension you must touch tonight. It's called the greatness of his power. The greatness of his power. The greatness of his power. Minutes. If you don't know what we are doing, we are trapping virtue in our soul. There is an energy that makes for sin. There is an energy that makes men sin. Sin is not a decision. Sin is violence. That is why after you fall, you feel guilty. The guilt in your heart is a report card that this is not the normal mindset of your heart. Something forced you to do it. It was Apostle Paul that says, the things which I want to do, I don't see myself doing it. The things which I don't want to do, that is what I see myself doing. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. So there is a law that can force you against your will. Then you perform the enterprise and then regret setting as a report card that this is not what you wanted to do. So there is an energy that empowered that appetite. Righteousness too has an energy with it. If you don't know what we are doing, we are downloading the energy that makes for righteousness. This is what happens when men gather together. We begin to rub oils, all kinds of aloes and oils. Ah, there are things you will never receive, no matter how long you pray. You need to come within the atmosphere of a man that has it, and suddenly it will rub on you. This is why we gather like this every Friday, because we know everybody has something. And as we are worshiping, something that was on Sister A can just rub you. That's somebody's 20 years prayer point. Just rub you cheaply, because in the presence of God, there is flow of the oil. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron to his beard, to his skirt. He says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. That place where oil is transferred, that is where God commands blessing. You don't know what come upon your life now. You are ignoring the person by your side. That brother that is sitting quietly near you, There is a royal anointing on him. The door to kings and royalty is around him. There are different things in different people's lives. There are treasures in earthen vessels. You don't know men. You don't know men. Don't undermine anybody. If you enter atmospheres like this, be wise, be discerning, be expectant. Because most times I will not be the one to bless you. It is something around you that is rubbing on you. If you are discerning, you will know that I came and I left a better person. Because there are all kinds of graces God hid inside men. He says there are treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of the Lord. Who would have told you that after a 2 hours, 30 minutes and a casual service like this, the barrenness can just shift like that? There is somebody here that if they pray for any other thing, they might have delay, but anytime they cry for fruitfulness, it is a proof that is your area of anointing. You are anointed in an area where you can repeatedly command results. The anointing is not guesswork. If it's the anointing, you can operate it over and over again. When it was time to address the fallen state of this, the fallen cherub, they said, "Thou art not worse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Every precious stone was thy covering." You can even use the anointing to fight God. God, if he gives you an anointing, the only time you can give account for it is in the shore of eternity. You can use the anointing of God to fight God. You can use that voice that is supposed to be a ladder between spirits. You can use it to keep demons entertained in clubs and become a tomb where immoral spirits journey to the souls of men. You can fight God with the anointing. And even God cannot stop you until you die. Then he tells you, give account for what I gave you. It is in eternity that men say, this is what I did with the talent. The anointing is so powerful. You can use it and challenge God. How can they meet a prophet and say, come and help us curse God's people? How can they meet a prophet? Because you can use the anointing even against God. People like you. They like you for no reason. And many other people, before anything they say, people already hate them. You don't know an anointing of favor is on your life. Why do you think Satan is powerful? He is using all the investment of God on people. All the giftings, all the scepters, all the rods of authority. He's wielding it. And when he wields it, he will say Satan is mighty. He is not. It is because you can go against God. The power of choice that God gave you made that even him can be the victim of that power. You have free will. You can choose God or choose to go against him, and God will not stop you till you meet in eternity. There are people here that have been fighting God with the anointing he gave them. You attract people unnecessarily. Anywhere you sit down, men gather around you. You are a natural born leader. You are a leader naturally. You don't need elections. You don't need lobbying. People just want you to be leading them. It's an anointing. It's something on your head that is commanding these results. And when Satan wants to lead a generation astray, he will subscribe such a man that can lead men. He will raise him up and people will follow him, because he knows, if I have this one, I have a generation. You can fight God with the anointing. What have you deployed against God? People who wield scepters of power. People who command hallowed ordinance. Anything your mouth say comes to pass. There are people like that among us. Don't be deceived. We are not together. We are not the same. We are not equal. There are different graces men carry. There are people tell them your mouth is bad, because anytime they speak, it comes to pass. Unfortunately, Satan only makes them talk the negative side of things, because he wants to deploy that gift for his advantage. Have you seen people that men say, you have a bad mouth? The mouth is not bad. It's only that he's saying negative things. If that same mouth say a good thing, it will come to pass. Do I go ahead and talk about sisters with an unusual grace of favor? Grace of favor. You are beautiful in and out. Even if men hear your voice, they are attracted to you. They have not seen you physically. People like you for no reason. And you are deploying men into hell. You have become a slave queen. You don't know that the grace is bigger than slave queen. The grace is for generation. You are supposed to lead the generation to the celestial city. Now Satan has subscribed you as a luminary. You are walking boot and... Ministers, you who have turned stones into bread, you who have merchandised the holy substance of the anointing, a wake-up call comes to you again. It is not for that. It is for war. They gave you that so that you can wield it in the day of war. There will be a time where the army of the Lord will be hungry, and so they will fetch those men that they gave them power to get wealth. It's an anointing. It's on top of your head. You will do business that other people are doing. You will succeed. They will go and try it and fail. Then they will come and ask you, what is the secret? Because you are under too much pressure, you are now trying to say there is a secret, and you know there is no secret. There is something on my head that is controlling my cup. Thou anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There will be a day the kingdom will lay demand on what they gave you. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
There's an army rising up.
I don't care what you have used your ability for. I don't care what you have fought that up. I don't care who you have supported all this while. It's a good time now to pledge allegiance to the flag of Jesus and say, all my strength, all my ability, all my gifts, only you, Jesus, will drink from the cup of my victory. No spirit will use me. Satan, I am for official use only. Have you seen government cars? Official use only. You don't use it for any other personal issue. I am for official use. Only the Holy Ghost can use this vessel. Can you vow tonight? Meetings like this, they are grounds of consecration. I refuse to be a vessel open to other spirits. No other spirit will drink from me. Outside, are you praying?
Thirsty ones, this world has failed to quench our thirst. We are in need of you. Save our sheep. We are in need.
not touched what I wanted to share with us, and so it's necessary that I introduce it at least. So please be seated. God bless you. Revelation chapter 17 verse 1, very quickly.
Sarkinya kinekai Waza jada ke me girma Sarkinya
a Christian and you fear God here. Let's read this Bible together at the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. Came out of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great war that seated upon many waters. Please say the great war. A war means a harlot. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
Come on, that amen is not encouraging.
Amen.
A celestial being say, come, I want to show you a secret. And the secret is how we plan to judge the great war. But they added great to her, because in the days of her strength, my God, the exploits was immeasurable. Leave that, just leave the scripture. There's something to be contemplated on. He says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great war that seated upon, say, many waters. Tell your neighbor again, many waters. Time and time again, according to the language of the Apocalypse, they tell you a beast came out of the waters. They will say it. All of these things were uttered in metaphors. And they said it because there are things that are to come hereafter. So that when princes open this book, no matter how long they stay and read it, it will take light to understand light. The Bible says, if they knew, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. There are many things that are veiled. It will take the heart of understanding to see it. And so this is why these things were rendered in metaphors. Verse 15 will give us a little clarity. Everybody, let's read together at the count of 2, 1, 2, go. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest were the water. Listen, he says the water that you saw just now, where you saw that mother of all harlots sitting down, the great war. And we're not talking about a lady. We're not talking about a female. We're talking about a spirit that had the disposition of a female. But it's not. There's no gender in that world. If you can hear me, say amen.
Amen.
Part of the reasons why I believe that they captured her with that visage of a lady was because they wanted to show the full weight of harlotry, and they wanted to show the weight of her fornications, and they wanted to show the futility and the carnality involved in how this spirit operates. In verse 15, let's now read together very slowly. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the war sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So verse 1 says, a war, a great war that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 15 says, the waters that she is sitting on are people, they are multitudes, they are nations, and they are tongues. Who is this spirit that sits upon nations? Who is this spirit that sits upon multitudes? Who is this spirit that sits upon tongues? They gave all of these coordinates intentionally, that there is a war that corrupts, and her sphere of influence is not a family, is a nation, is multitude. Do you see the people? They put an S there to show you that
She doesn't deal with singularity. She comes for. If that spirit wants to colonize a space, if you are the only one in that space, you can't attract her yet. The need for the number of people who are practicing that particular compromise to be a bunch, that is what attracts her. She has no time. You think you are a special person in Satan's hand. You are not special. Satan, huh? You are not special in his hand. There are spirits that are only moved by crowd. Viewing centers. Somebody is angry with me right now. Anywhere there is a crowd, the spirit say, what is this thing that people like this? As I'm saying now, I know you don't believe me. I will show you her table in the marketplace, the things she sell. You will see the object of her merchandise. That is when you will know that anything that gives you passion, that draws zeal from your life, that is not towards God, there is another spirit that benefits from it. In the equation of life, there is no you. There is only God and Satan. If you choose yourself, you have chosen Satan still. Seated upon many waters. Then the angel say, I will not leave you without giving you expo about this one. The water that you saw that spirit sitting upon are people, are multitudes, are nations, and their tongues. Revelation chapter 18. Very quickly. The next verse, the next chapter after this. Because they devoted two chapters to talk about this spirit. One chapter was not enough to explain. Revelation 18 verse 11. I speak about an ancient spirit. Ancient! And they say, let me show you the things she transacts with. Let's read together at the count of three. One, two, three, go. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn. So she's selling something. Selling something. She's a businesswoman. Who is she selling to? The people she sits over. The nations. The multitudes. The peoples and the tongue. So she has something for Igala. There is a flavor of her product that is for tribes. So they say if every tongue is captured within the things that she sells. There's something she sells only for Igbo men. If you are laughing, your tribe is involved. Anything that they say, we, our own, this is our own child. Somebody say, our family, we don't have any problem. Our only small thing, our anger. See that anger? Eh? She sells it. There's a table. There are only few spirits, very few, that they will nations to them. That they say the kings of the... In fact, the first time they went to show Apostle John the Beloved the visage of this spirit, they showed her as a war that does not only sit upon many waters. Another time where they showed her sitting upon seven mountains. One spirit or one woman. And that this time, they began to describe the color of her garment, that she wear purple robes and she drinks from the wine of abomination. Powerful in his visage. Satan is the least of your problem. Please give us our scripture. Let's read. Everybody, let's read together very quickly now. One, two, three, go. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Next verse. Everybody, let's read the things she sells now. One, two, three, go. She sells gold. She sells money. Eh? Are you with me? She transacts on money. She can give you money and collect something from your life. If you have ever wondered who benefited when a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, it was her. She was the one that bought your soul. The merchant, let's read together. One, two, three, go. the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple. Fashion designers. You see that hunger, that desire to look good. Eh? She capitalized on it. There's no loss that is not captured. No loss that is not captured within the frame of her merchandise. Let's continue. And purple and silk. Let's read together. And scarlet. And all manner of what? Vessels of ivory. And all manner of vessels of what? And of what? And of iron and of marble. Next verse. My God. And cinnamon and odors. Fragrance now. And ointments and frankincense. The one they brought for Jesus. The one they brought as gift for Jesus. It's part of the thing she sells. And wine. Please tell your neighbor wine. Say oil. And fine flour. And wheat. And beast. And sheep. And horses. And chariots. And slaves. And what? She sells souls. You are the only one that don't know that there are spirits that do business on deep waters. And they sell soul. You can come and say, take it. You know how you lay your soul down? She is the one that can give you a deal you cannot reject. And say, have you not suffered? See how people are looking at you anyhow. Are you not tired of the shame? Many of you have laid down your life already. You don't know yet. And this wicked spirit, it took taking a man to a location in the spirit. The way God would take Ezekiel to go and show him a valley full of dry bone. There are locations where realities are domiciled. They say, come, let's show you where men die from. Come, let's show you where men abandon destiny from. Souls of men are part of the things they merchandise. Just in case you have found what I want to describe now in your life, I need everybody's attention, please. Something has been planted in your vessel, in your life, that makes that your willpower is no longer strong enough to control the direction of your decision. That you have something you want to do, but there are other installations now that can make you against your will. You can say no, but there's another power strong forced you in the direction you do not want. It is a report card that your soul has been merchandised. I started today's teaching intentionally by showing you that even the lawful captive will be delivered. The spirit realm is legalistic in operation. And so mighty men in that realm are lawyers. People who can present strong reasons in the constitution of Zion why the case should be so. But when you are coming against spirits that have lived for eons of years, spirits as old as the days where they forged man, what can you say that they don't know? What can you bring? Even the wisdom of Solomon, they humbled him. With that kind of wisdom, they corrupted him. And so you can't trust your strength to win them in that court. It is for this reason that God needed to introduce another economy. Because he has seen brightest stars in Zion come challenging strange creatures of darkness, and they don't have stature enough to win cases. He has seen that man has not found a way to combat and win many cases. Mind you, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. You don't win the things that fight you with knife and gun. You win it by deliberation, by laws, by command, by decrees. And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. Whatsoever you bind, how did you bind it? With your mouth. The power of life and death is in the mouth. So since we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down. Because of the cases that spirits can bring against a man. So there are things you do innocently with a good intention, and spirit will go and accuse you before God and say, but Adonai, did you not say in your laws and your commandments that blah, 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 blah? How comes this person did blah blah and you are still protecting him? And because of such kinds of legal angle to the heritage of men, God introduced another economy. It's called the economy of mercy. Mercy is the only thing that supersedes judgment. So that when they bring the legal side, it was mercy that God used, and he override many decisions. So when spirit say, but it's not fair, God will say, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. If it's mercy, I will not explain why I'm having it. I don't owe anybody any explanation for who I choose to give my mercy to. David can go and sleep with a man, a woman, kill her husband, murder, adultery together, and come back, and his first prayer is, have mercy upon me. Saul, one small instruction, kill everything. Saul saved some livestock. Is that even close to what David did? No. But there was one man that capitalized on the economy of mercy. There is a way you approach God. You don't approach God with a sense of arrival or that you are right or that God should know that you try. If you do that, you fall. Because many princes, they will come presenting cases that are stronger than yours. You are falling for immorality. The state of your heart is, Haba, I no try. For 17 years, I no do anything. Leave Haba, I beg. Oga, you have fallen for adultery. Madam, you have defied the holy ordinance of marriage. Spirits are already saying, Adonai, remember you said, if they break the edge, the serpent is permitted to strike. It's your word. Instead of that person to quickly say, have mercy, you know what the person did? Said, I can count over 7 families that I know that their husband is just sleeping around. Me, just only once. My dear, if you like, don't. I've seen men that they caught them. They are not remorseful. They say, what? Well, am I the first person? Don't I provide for you? Have you ever been hungry in this house? He now made the woman to now be answering question. He said, answer, have you been hungry? She said, no. He says, do I provide? He said, talk. A man was caught in an act. Now the news got to the wife. And the things I'm sharing is the woman that called me. The man said, you see our neighbor? Does he take care of his wife? Started reminding her of all of his greats. No repentance. You will carry that same mindset and come before God. I'll tell you how you approach God with that mindset. You will come as though inside sin, because you started with men first. You are taking it towards God now. You will come as though inside sin, there are sin. There is small sin and big sin. So you just come with a casual confession. Ah, Lord Jesus. You know we are all humans. I'm sorry, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Another person is crying and saying, show me mercy. This is why I introduced from the beginning, your strength is mercy. Mercy. If God will consider iniquity, who will stand? Who will stand? The best of man is still a man. Who will stand? It's a question. Brother, who will stand? Any man that has found the mercy of God, he has found life. There was a covenant on David's head. It's Isaiah that explained it. It's called the sure mercy of David. The sure mercy of David. Please, Mitya, help me project that scripture. The sure mercy of David. Let's make that our prayer point before we delve into, of course, the communion proper and then pray and go. Well, I've come to the end of our meeting. Please, just gather your spirits together now. Wherever you are, let's read together. Everybody at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercy of David. I will give you one mercy that is sure. Take 1 minute now and bow your head. Your prayer, saints of God, is one. Lord, show me your mercy. If you get God's mercy, Lord, show me your mercy. That was the prayer of blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. He did not ask for sight. Jesus came to ask him, what do you want? I see that you are blind. He said, have mercy upon me, son of David. Son of David, have mercy. I wish you knew what you were praying for. Our children is involved. Show mercy, oh God.
Hosanna, 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 O my David.
Asanga Bwana,
hallelujah. Now we want to put the power of Jesus on public display. All I want from you is to shout amen as loud as you can. There's one name that all our hope is on. One thing you are bound to find from today is that the thing that you used to do that gives you joy before, a spirit has possessed you. And so over God's people, please lay your hands on anywhere, affliction, sickness, diseases, pain, aches, anywhere there is a pain. For this reason was the Son of Man manifested, so that he may destroy the works of the devil. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And so, Father, over your people, over their health, I speak over their bodies, every pain from your head to your toe, I command pains to leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. By the authority in that name, the name you have exalted above every other name, I command HIV, cancer, ulcer, fevers, blood condition, weaknesses, all kinds of cases, hepatitis, leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. I challenge delay and stagnation and bad locks and all kinds of causes. Now in the name of Jesus, be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Every tongue that rises against you, every organ failure, pain around the abdomen, pain around the thorax, pain around the back, I challenge all organ failures, be restored now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every voice telling you you will die, every voice telling you you will not live long, every voice telling you there is a sickness, I cancel all negative counsel. I blot out negative handwritings. I declare it is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. Any tongue that rises against you, we condemn it. Everybody here knocking on the door of expectation and it has not opened for them, they have continued to wait and is waiting and is delaying. Now I declare Ephatha, the door and the seasons of expectations be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody here who say, I have tarried on this mountain for too long, Lord, do something new for my destiny. Do something new for my life. Do something new. Do something new. Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Everybody here who are tired of the mockery of men, tired of the issues that surrounds their life, now I command by the power of the Holy Ghost, I shift you to a new season in the name of Jesus Christ. How shall these things be? Everybody here looking at their life, looking at everybody around them and comparing it with their dreams and vision and saying it's impossible. It is impossible. The gap is too big. What time will I achieve all these things? Everybody here with dreams, with goals, with aspiration that is beginning to look too big, I declare now, may the power of the Lord come upon you and enable your feet with speed. I supply speed to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that which would take men 10 years, receive grace to accomplish in 1 year. In the name of Jesus. I declare that which men use their whole life to achieve, receive grace to enter in your youth. In the name of Jesus Christ. I declare an anointing called the desire of nation. It comes upon you and all you put your hands to do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing will hide you anymore. Nothing will cover your star anymore. The veil is torn. The veil is torn. There is nothing that can stop you again. You and the children the Lord has given to you, you are for signs and wonders. I declare the diseases of the Egyptians shall not come near your dwelling. I challenge the spirit of infirmity, responsible for all shades of sickness, illness, and diseases. I don't need to call the names of these sicknesses. I declare the spirits of infirmity that are plaguing people's lives, that are putting them through torment and affliction, that difficulty in breathing, that body weakness, that kind of heat, internal heat in your body. As I speak right now, the Holy Ghost is checking them out. I declare upon you now, out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Bone conditions. I command right now that pain and that ache lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that carries your name and your face, the favor of the Lord rest upon it now. Everything that carries your name, the favor of the Lord rest upon it now. May your name become a key that opens doors. May your name become a key that opens doors. I declare the favor of the Lord is upon you. You are blessed and favored. You are blessed and favored. Your going out and your coming in is blessed and favored. You cannot be small. Nothing you put your hands to do will die. Everything that was dying, if you join it, it will come to life. Those who have come for this meeting with a particular hunger, trusting the Lord, yearning for an anointing and saying, Lord, I know grace is on men. I am seeking something that can shift my life, something that can bring results to what I'm already doing, something that can change the narrative entirely. I stretch my hands over you now. I release graces upon people jealously. I release graces upon people. Ushers, please help those people. I release graces upon people. Receive the grace of influence. Receive the grace of visibility. Receive the grace of revelation. Receive the grace of revelation. The hand of the Lord rest upon you. There is fire on your head. May your words be clothed with fire. Your words be clothed with fire. And so Holy Ghost, from the back to the front, inside and outside, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, I stir men up now. I stir men up by fire. Such as I have with God, such as I have, such as I have, I give to you freely now. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. There are people whose hunger level has gone down. The Holy Ghost says, I stretch my hands, and the zeal of the house of the Lord will consume them. It is something that wants to happen to you. It's a zeal that will eat you up. And so Holy Ghost, from the back to the front, the left to the right, the hunger for spiritual things, it comes upon their head like fire. At the count of three, one in the name of Jesus, two in the name of Jesus, help them, help them. Three in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, touch, touch, hunger for spiritual things. Two ladies, your vision is now blurry. The devil is now trying to mix up your sights. You used to harness access into tomorrow before. Your eyes was like the eye of an eagle. You saw things clearly. Now your sight is corrupted. You can't see clearly anymore. And so by the fire of consecration, I stretch my hands over them. There is somebody outside. There's a lady outside, one of them. Please bring that lady for me. There is fire on her head now. By the power of the Lord, I stretch my hands over them outside. I release upon you now, your sight is restored. Your sight is restored by the power of the Holy Ghost. Bring up for me that one outside. Hold her, hold her. Restoration. Eyes be opened again by the fire of consecration. We supply grace to you now. Bring those under the power for me now. The anointing of the Lord is moving in this role. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. The earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. Help this brother, help this brother, help him. Grace for more. The fire of consecration. There's a lady I see here. You entered here with excruciating stomach pain. The pain was so intense. You walked into this place. As I speak now, something is turning in your stomach. You are feeling an upset in your stomach. Wherever you are, run forward quickly now. There's an upset you are feeling in your stomach. Please help me find that person. My God. The hand of God is visiting us. I break curses and delay. I break curses and delay. I cancel the words of people's mouth over your life. I declare you will not be small. You will not be small. You will not be small. There's a lady on this roll here at that middle side. I'm seeing the Lord remove something like a veil from you. It has covered you for a long time. Suddenly, you will become visible to those who will bless you now. And so, Holy Ghost, I stretch my hands over them. Show mercy. Show your mercy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Show your mercy. Please help. Show your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has healed people here. Yes, honestly, he has healed people. Blood conditions, blood-related diseases, checked out that migraine, that long-standing migraine. It's not in your head again. Check it. You see it. The pains around your bodies is gone. All of those organ-related issues, all gone. Body weaknesses checked out. This is what Jesus does in our midst. This is what he does.
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.